small ancient thermal exchange furnace and a couple of time-expired electric motors used by the McBoeings in their flap actuators, which the captain had salvaged from the spaceport. Forward of that was a raised wheelhouse with a roof made entirely of solar panels. Then came the galley and bunk cabin. The rest of the cabin was given over to cargo. The Coogan's captain was Len Buchanan, a wire-thin man in his mid-50s, dressed in a pair of worn, faded shorts and a tight-fitting blue cap. Rye suspected he had little veneering. The hair peeking out from his cap was tightly curled and pale grey. Dark brown skin showed stringy muscles, stretched taut and slightly swollen joints, several teeth, and rotted away. He stood in front of the wheelhouse and welcomed Rye on board. "I need a few supplies," Rye said. "I ain't interested in barter," he said straight away, cheeks puffing out for emphasis. "Not unless it's powered equipment you're offering. I've had my fill of pickled vegetables and fruit preserves and cured hides. And don't even think about saying fish. They're coming out of my ears. I can't sell anything like that downriver. Nobody's interested." Rye fished a roll of plastic Lalonde francs out of his pocket. Buchanan was a third trader captain to appear at Aberdale recently. All of them wanted cash for their goods, and none had bought much of Aberdale's produce in return. "I understand. I'm looking for cloth. Cotton, mainly, but I'll take denim or canvas." "Cost you a lot of francs. You got anything harder?" "I might have," Rye said, with a grey inevitability. "Didn't anybody use Lalonde francs?" "Let's see what you've got first." Gail Buchanan was sitting in the wheelhouse, wearing a coolie hat and a shapeless khaki dress. An obese 50-year-old with long, straggly dark hair, her legs were like water-filled sacks of skin. When she walked, it was with a painful waddle. Most of her life was spent sitting on the Coogan's deck, watching the world go by. She looked up from the clothes she was sewing to give Rye a friendly nod. "Cloth you wanted, is it, lovey?" "That's right. Plenty of cloth we've got, all woven in Durringham. Dyed, too. Won't find better anywhere." "I'm sure." "No patterns yet, but that'll come." "Yes. Does your wife know how to sew, then?" Yes, I suppose so." Rye hadn't thought about it. Arcology synthetics came perfectly tailored. Load your size into the commercial circuit, and they arrived within 6 hours. If they started to wear, throw them in the recycler. Waster kids dressed in patched and frayed garments, but not decent people. "If she doesn't, you send her to me." "Thank you." "Knitting, too. None of the women that come here know how to knit. I give lessons. Best lessons east of Durringham. Know why, lovey?"
"No," Rye said helplessly.
"Because they're the only ones." Gail Buchanan slapped her leg and laughed, rolls of flesh quivering. Rye gave her a sickly smile and fled into the cargo hold, wondering how many times that joke had been cracked over the years. Len Buchanan had everything a farmstead could ever possibly want stacked up on his long shelves. Rye Mulvey shuffled down the tiny aisle, staring round in awe and envy. There were power tools still in their boxes, solar cells, half of Rye's had been stolen back in Durringham, fridges, microwaves, cryostats full of frozen animal sperm, MF album fleck players, laser rifles, mnemonic medical packages, drugs, and bottle after bottle of liquor. The Lalonde-made products were equally impressive. Nails, pots, pans, glass. Rye saw the panes and groaned. What he wouldn't give for a window of glass! Drinking glasses, boots, nets, seeds, cakes of dried meat, flour, rice, saws, hammers, and bale after bale of cloth. "What kind of things would you take downriver?" Rye asked, as Len unrolled some of the cotton for him. Len pulled his cap off and stretched his largely bald head. "Truth to tell, not much. What you produce up here, food and the like, people need it. But it's the transport cost, see? I couldn't take fruit more than 100 kilometers and make a profit."
"Small and valuable, then?"
"Yeah, that's your best bet."
"Meat?"
"Could do. There's some villages not doing as well as you. They want the food, but how are they going to pay for it?
If they spend all their money buying food, it's going to run out fast, and they won't be able to buy in new stocks of what they really need, like seed and animals. I've seen that happen before. Bad business.